Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The Bible is a book of miracles showing the intervention of God the Father and Jesus Christ in the affairs of mankind. Many of the accounts of the Old Testament are intertwined with miracles, and throughout the earthly ministry of Jesus, what he taught was sometimes overshadowed by miracles. Today, we're going to look at several of those miracles and consider the miracle that is working in each of us. There is nothing that God hasn't touched that couldn't be considered a miracle. When we consider the eternal nature of God, that there is no beginning and end to God, Father, and Jesus, our minds are forced to consider things that are almost too wonderful for us to comprehend. While we can intellectually understand eternity, none of us has experienced eternity. When we consider the spirit nature of God, Jesus Christ, and the angels, we also understand that somehow, through spirit, what we know as the physical was made. And because we live a physical existence reaching for what is spiritual almost seems like a miracle to us. Throughout the history of the Bible, miracles are recorded. And we will start looking at the final miracle that gave Pharaoh the reasons to let the children of Israel depart from Egypt, the death of the firstborn. The Passover was instituted in part by the working of what was a miracle. Each of the 10 plagues were plagues that had miraculous origins with God. And while this final miracle brought death to the firstborn of Egypt, it brought freedom to the children of Israel then, and through the death of Jesus Christ, who is our Passover today, brings freedom and eternal life to us today. It all started with an act of faith. The children of Israel painting blood from the sacrifice on the doorpost and then having the angel of death pass over their house and only bringing death to the households of the Egyptians. Even though a miracle was involved, an act of faith was required by the children of Israel. Exodus 12, verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Throughout the Exodus, miracle after miracle was given to the children of Israel. And in one instance, with the armies of Pharaoh in hot pursuit, and other miracles of God that visually shielded the children of Israel from those armies, they found themselves with their backs to the sea, waiting in fear for their pursuers, never considering that when all seems lost, God can and will deliver his people from their time of trouble according to his will. Today, we can take great comfort in knowing that in whatever situations of life we find ourselves, God can and will deliver us from our time of trouble also, all according to his will for us. Back then, God directed Moses to lift up his hands and stretch them out over the sea, and as a strong wind came to create a dry channel of earth for them to walk through. When they got to the other side, Moses brought his hands together, and the armies of Pharaoh were destroyed by the waters. Exodus 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Finding food in the desert can be challenging because there are fewer plants, animals, and sources of water. To keep his people alive, God provided food in the form of manna. If today you eat any type of a flaked breakfast cereal, such as cornflakes, these were created in part to be like the manna described in the Bible. The manna in the Bible came through a miracle. Think about how cheap it would be to live if every day we could go outside and gather food to eat for the rest of the day at no cost to us. That was the deal for the children of Israel during the years of wandering. The only rule was to only take what they could eat during the same day, because after a day the manna would attract pests. Except on the Sabbath, when the day before enough food for 2 days would be gathered. Exodus 16, verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seeth that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread whereof I have fed you in the wilderness, then I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Miracles were used to free the children of Israel from Egypt and to feed them as well. It didn't take long once they were in the wilderness for some of the people to begin to complain. Some were quick to notice that the desert they were wandering in was not the land flowing with milk and honey that they were promised. And not understanding the workings of God, they complained, murmured, and that led to a rebellion led by Korah. Through miracles, God took the lives of Korah and all who were rebelling. But also through a miracle, God established Aaron and his descendants as the lineage of high priest for Israel through Aaron's budded rod. Each tribe of Israel was led by a person, and with the tribe of Levi, it was Aaron. The names of the leaders of each tribe was written on a rod, and the next morning it was only Aaron's rod that budded, had flowers and almonds. A season's worth of growth happened overnight. Numbers 17, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, and each prince one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all of the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. Later, while still in the middle of the desert where water and food was scarce, even though manna was given to the Israelites, they still complained. Moses took their concerns to God, who told them to take the rod, and in the presence of all, both Aaron and Moses were to speak to the rock to give water. And while Moses and Aaron took the rod and spoke to the rock before the presence of all, they took credit for what happened, neglecting to give glory to God who provided this miracle. God still gave water for the people and animals to drink, but the consequence given to Moses and Aaron was that they would not lead the people into the promised land. Because instead of giving God glory and honor for providing this miracle to the people, Moses and Aaron told the people that they were fetching the water out of the rock. Numbers 20, verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Even when God is working a miracle, and even when that miracle directly benefits us and supports our cause, we cannot take credit for that miracle or deny any glory and majesty that belongs to God. Because Moses and Aaron claimed they were fetching the water from the rock when it was God who was performing a miracle for the people, Moses and Aaron were denied entrance to the promised land. Even when we do what God tells us to do, like Moses and Aaron did when God told them to do, if we take credit for what belongs to God, God can bring consequences to our life as well. Other miracles from the Old Testament show the intervention of God when the people were fighting for the promised land. Joshua asked God to keep the sun from moving through the sky to provide more daylight to complete military operations, and God did exactly that. Knowing all that is involved physically with the rotation of the earth and the orbit of the earth around us, today we know how incredible that miracle was, made at the request of one man, Joshua. Joshua 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Aijalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Many of the miracles of the Bible include bringing the dead back to life. Elijah, a prophet of God, had been told to visit a widow who lived in the town of Zarephath in Sidon. After a while, the son of that widow became sick and died. It must have been an agonizing and slow death. It's hard for us to imagine that a healthy person can become sick and die as a result of the illness, and sadly, that is what happened to this widow's son. The widow thought of Elijah and thought somehow that her son's death was the result of some sin that Elijah had uncovered, which wasn't the case with the widow's son. Sometimes when something bad happens to a person, it is a punishment from God, but sometimes bad things happen because bad and unpredictable events that lead to a loss of life are part of the human condition. Elijah felt very bad to the widow, knowing her son would no longer be there to support her. And Elijah cried out to God, concerned about the evil that would come to the widow with the death of her son. Elijah cried and cried again for God to restore life to her son, and God did exactly that. And seeing this miracle confirmed to the woman that Elijah was indeed a man of God. 1 Kings 17, verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my son to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and he carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true. In Babylon, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found favor with King Nebuchadnezzar, and at times also fell out of favor with him when his ego took control of who he was, including a decree that Nebuchadnezzar should be worshipped as a god. Daniel's three friends wouldn't do that and were promptly ratted out by locals who probably felt threatened by the palace lifestyle they enjoyed. Nebuchadnezzar ordered the same punishment for Daniel's three friends as he would any other person, to be incinerated alive in a huge fiery furnace. That furnace was so hot, the guards who tossed them in were killed by the furnace flames. But as for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw them walking around with a fourth unknown person who had the likeness of the Son of God. He had the three walk out of the furnace, and not even the clothes they were wearing were singed. They didn't even have the smoking scent that we think of with strong fires. Daniel 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. and the prince's governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. God can and will use miracles to protect his people. In the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their lives were spared, probably to provide a witness to King Nebuchadnezzar. We should never fear what people can do or threaten to do to us, and instead choose to obey God, knowing that with God, miracles are real and freely used by God to benefit his people and the furtherance of his kingdom. We also recognize that all people will die a physical death. And while the miracle given to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a noticeable miracle that benefited not only them by King Nebuchadnezzar, many of the miracles God gives on behalf of his people may not be as noticed. What we might consider as luck or time and chance could very easily be a miracle of God working in our life. There are many miracles recorded in the New Testament as well. The conception of Jesus was a miracle, as divine intervention was needed to bring about Mary's pregnancy. The first miracle attributed to Jesus was not something as grandiose as the parting of the waters of the Red Sea, but it did involve water. At a wedding, Mary came to Jesus and told him they were without wine. And Jesus reminded her that it was not yet quite his time to shine. Mary then told the servants to do exactly what Jesus told them. When Jesus noticed there were 6 empty water pots, he told the servants to fill them all with water. And miraculously, when the water was taken from the water pots, it became wine. And not just any average wine, but a very fine wine. Nobody but the servants knew what happened, and this miracle helped the disciples to believe. John 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whosoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw it now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. A greater part of the miracles Jesus performed directly benefited other people, including people who were sick. While leprosy today can be treated with antibiotics and cured if caught early enough, until recently there was no cure for the disease, and people kept their distance from any person with leprosy. On one occasion, Jesus came across 10 lepers while traveling through Samaria and Galilee, and they begged Jesus for mercy, and Jesus healed them, and they happily departed to show themselves to the priests so they could return to a normal life. Only one of the lepers came back to thank Jesus. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We cannot be without gratitude if we hope for miracles in our life, knowing that most quickly forget about the hardships of their life when the hardship goes away. Nor can we find reason to find fault when a miracle is performed. Jesus would also heal on the Sabbath if he came across a person needing healing on the Sabbath. And that angered the Jews who accused him of working on the Sabbath, which was part of their religious concept. They found fault with the person performing the miracle because he told the healed person to pick up his bed and walk, which this healed person gladly did. John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. On another Sabbath, Jesus came across a woman in the synagogue who was so weak and was weak for so long she could not stand up. Jesus took compassion on her and healed her then and there, and people found fault with him, telling him he shouldn't heal on the Sabbath. Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy, how they valued animals more than people. His adversaries were brought to shame while the masses rejoiced in the miracle. Luke 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. On several occasions, Jesus performed a miracle to feed people. In one instance, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed more than 5,000 people. Matthew 14, verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Most of us would probably like to have these food types of miracles because in our thinking, it would be one less worry or cost for us. But these food miracles were real. These served a purpose for the people at that time, and the intervention of God could not be ignored by people who understood what was happening. One of the final miracles Jesus performed was an act of healing on a person most would think of as an enemy. By this time, Judas had already betrayed Jesus, and during the arrest at Gethsemane, Peter cut the right ear off the servant of the high priest, and Jesus chose to heal the high priest's servant right then and there. Luke 22, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. For some, a miracle can directly benefit them, and they can immediately choose to ignore the miracle because the miracle becomes an inconvenient truth for them, much like what was seen in Gethsemane that night. We can never allow miracles to become an inconvenient truth for us. Some of us look at miracles as a thing of biblical past, or that happens to select others, never considering the miracle that God is working in each of us. And the miracle that God is working in each of us is summarized by Philippians 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That miracle that God is working in each of us through Jesus Christ is to bring us from a place of human selfishness that is focused on fulfilling the works of the flesh, to a place of spiritual awareness that focuses on God's righteousness and the kingdom of God growing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That gift of the Holy Spirit brings about the miracle that is the change within us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot please God, and yet from the writings of Paul and others, we know that what makes our change possible is the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit within each of us, we know that God is for us. And when God is for us, as we saw for each of the miracles we read about today, nobody and no situation can be against us. We know nothing can separate us from the love of God found in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible is a book of miracles, and those miracles definitely benefited people at that time. The Bible is not a book just of miracles past, but a book of miracles which will be in the future, and the miracles we are all experiencing today through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the miracle it brings to us, not by our strength, but by the will of God, we find ourselves crucifying the works of the flesh as we grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this will ultimately culminate in eternal life and our place in the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the last day of Unleavened Bread. Until then, thank you for joining us today.